Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers. All of us should be expressing our thanks to our mothers because all of us have mothers. Right? Amen. I only got one amen on that. Did you forget your mother already? You see? I mean, nobody here is without a mother. Now, for some of you, your mothers have passed on, and you need to honor them also, okay? But the fact is, all of us have a mother, right? Anybody not have a mother? We'll get the federal government to investigate you, you see, because you don't belong here. You're an alien, okay? Now, it's great to have a day when we just kind of set aside a special honor for all of our moms. Because if it weren't for our moms, we just simply wouldn't be here, would we? And, you know, we have a special guest with us today. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But we have a special guest with us this morning. She's trying to hide her identity. That's Miss Jean over here. She's wearing a mask, not because she's going to try to rob you. Okay? But she doesn't want to catch anything from anybody. Her immune system is really, really low. And she's been, you know, confined to the house for so long, you know, the dog started barking at her just to get her to go out. Okay? But she came out and she's wearing the mask so that she doesn't catch anything. Because if somebody has some kind of a cold or anything, just a slight one, and she catches it, it'll just kind of send her back, you know, into all those problems again. So that's why she's doing that. You don't have to watch your wallets or your purses or anything, okay? But it is great to have Miss Jean back with us today. Do that. What a great day. It was raining this morning. That's right. It was raining this morning, but God has blessed us with some good sunshine. So that's a good thing for our moms. Miss Sherry is back with us. She's not wearing a mask. But she's back with us. It's good to see her healthy again and able to be with us again today. So, and all of her her children and just being able to be back with us again. A lot of folks still struggling, though. A lot of folks that are sick, struggling with various things. And so we need to keep offering our prayers on behalf of those who are struggling. You know, we have been studying and talking about prayer and really focusing a lot on trying to make this church family to be a house of prayer to the Lord, one that we will not only be, but one that we will be known as such. We want folks to know that when they have something going on in their life and they need prayers, that this is a place they can come, and we will offer those prayers up before the Lord. And so we've been looking at a lot of different things that have to do with prayer. And all kind of with the ideas, the disciples asked Jesus and said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's one of the things we've been doing is learning how to pray more effectively and to come before God and have conversation with Him. Last week we started kind of an additional series, if you will, along with this this study on prayer. We're talking about using prayer to break down the strongholds that we have in our lives. Strongholds being, you know, those things that Satan uses against us to kind of hold us in captivity to him. Areas of our lives. And all of us have different things that we struggle with and different strongholds that we face. I mentioned to you last week a book that I recommend. And as I told you last week, I don't do this very often, but Beth Moore's book on praying in the Scriptures is one that I highly recommend. And there's a list out on the bulletin board. If you would like to get a copy of that, I need you to sign up today because I'm going to order them tomorrow. So if you want a copy and you haven't signed up, please sign up on the list today so I know how many copies to order. And they're $10 or 25 cents a piece. Of course, I need you to pay me as soon as you can also so that I can buy those books. The reason that I recommend that book is because she's focusing, and much of the material that I'm going to be using in this series on strongholds is from some of the things that she has to say in there. But the great benefit of it is that she has a lot of examples after each chapter, and the chapters are very short in there, but then after each chapter, there's just page after page after page of examples of using prayer, or using the Scripture, rather, in our prayers. And so really to help us to get some ideas on how to do that even better. And so I recommend that to you, and I'll do that. This morning we're going to talk about this overcoming the stronghold of idolatry. Now, you know, when we go back and we look in the Old Testament, we see that one of the things that one of the major problems that the Israelites had was with idolatry. They were continually, over and over and over, constantly turning away from Jehovah God and chasing after the idols of the people that lived around them. It was a continual problem for them, even such that, you know, God considered their turning to idols, He considered that to be adultery. In other words, they were unfaithful to Him. To the prophet Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says in Jeremiah 9 and verse 2, "Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people." So, you know, idolatry was a big problem for the Israelite people. They were easily led astray and chased after the foreign gods of the people that they were with. But is idolatry a problem for people today, do you think? Yeah, I think it is. And not only, you know, is it a problem for people today in general, I think it's a problem for Christians. And that's why we need to talk about it. See? We've got to look at it. You see, people today are worshiping anything and everything that's out there to worship. You see? Whether it's celebrities, you know, the athletes, the entertainers, or what have you. You know, we're worshiping those folks. I mean, we've even got one of the most popular programs on TV today is called American Idol. Okay? You say, what's wrong with this picture? And even Christians, I think, are struggling at times with this particular stronghold, that is overcoming idolatry in our lives. You say, wait a minute, Russ, isn't that going a little bit too far? I mean, you know, I'm not getting down on my hands and knees and bowing down to some, you know, thing that somebody made for me out of stone or wood or anything like that, like they were doing in the Old Testament times. Ah. But is the worship of idols more than just simply bowing down before, you know, some object? Are there other aspects of idol worship that we need to be aware of and need to check on and make sure that we're not caught up in those kinds of things? And I would suggest that there are. Okay. But we need, in order to really understand this whole thing about worshiping idols, let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment and let's make sure that we understand what God's perspective is on this, okay? In Exodus chapter 20, turn in your Bible there, if you will, for just a moment. We need to begin by looking at this whole idea of how God feels about other gods, okay? And how seriously God takes this whole issue of having other gods, all right? Now, when God gave the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law of Moses to the Israelite people, okay, He started out this way. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God says, I'm God, and you shall have no other gods before me. What about that? Is it possible that we have some other gods before us that maybe we don't recognize as being other gods, but in fact God recognizes them as such? And I want you to understand that's the important part here. We go, that's not a god. If God recognizes it as another god, if He calls it idolatry, then it's idolatry. Okay? For example, turn over to Colossians chapter 3 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Colossae, says, beginning in verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is what? Somebody help me out there. Idolatry. Greed, which is idolatry. Now, you say, well, okay, Russ, I understand that, but I'm not a greedy person. Okay, what does the word in the original language here really mean? Okay, the word in the Greek that is used here for greed, some of your translations have covetousness, okay? And that's literally what the word means, is covetousness. Plenexia is the word in the Greek language, and it means simply a desire to have more. Whoa. A desire to have more is greed, which is idolatry. See? I confess to you, I have been guilty of idolatry. Because I've gone through, part of my life never being satisfied. I wanted more. You see? One more. Not enough. One more. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this particular text, gives the reason why greed is considered to be idolatry by God. He says, it secures the affections that properly belong to God and is therefore idolatry. In other words, we're taking the affection that rightfully should be going to God, and we're putting it on something else that we want more of, you see. Whenever we take something away from God and give it to something else, that's idolatry. Because those affections rightfully belong to Him. So therefore, when God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, we need to ask ourselves very seriously, has something else become my God in my life? You can kind of be able to figure that out by asking yourself and really taking a good honest look and saying, what is the chief or primary focus of my life? Where do I spend most of my time, most of my energy, perhaps even most of my money chasing after? say, could that be your God? Could it perhaps even be yourself? See, for some people themselves really are who they worship more than anything or anyone else in their lives. Then we need to ask ourselves the question, okay, if this is perhaps a problem for me, if this is a stronghold in my life, this problem with adultery, whether it's kind of putting myself there before God or something else or someone else or whatever it might be, if this is a stronghold, then it needs to be overcome. The question is, how do we go about doing that? Okay? And this particular part is important with all of the strongholds that we're going to be talking about through this particular part of our study. But we need to ask ourselves the question as we're facing this stronghold in, or any other stronghold that we're facing in our lives. And I promise you, okay, that we're going to be studying your stronghold or strongholds sometime around. If this isn't one, we'll come to you, okay? All right? Some of you look surprised that I said that. The reality is that we all face different things and struggles because Satan, this is spiritual warfare, folks, we talked about last week. And if you think you're too good that Satan's leaving you alone, then he's already got you. Okay? He's already got you. So we really need to focus on this particular part that I'm going to share with you right now. In any stronghold that we may be facing in our lives, we need to be able to ask this question honestly: is your God too small? Now think about that question. Is your God too small? In other words, do we see our stronghold as perhaps impossible to overcome? How are we looking at the stronghold that we may be facing? You see, as long as we focus on the strength of our stronghold instead of the strength of our God, then we're going to be held in captivity. You see? And that's why we need to understand when it comes to idolatry that there really is no other God. You see? Because the size of our God makes all the difference in the world. Okay? If I believe that this struggle that I'm facing, whatever the stronghold is, that God can't handle this, then my God is too small. Because we have a God who can handle anything and everything that Satan throws at us. And I get at least one amen on that. You see? And we really need to understand that. We need to believe that. There's two words that I want you to focus on. Two vitally important words when it comes to overcoming strongholds that we really have got to get a handle on if we want to be successful in overcoming the strongholds in our lives. Okay? The first word is supremacy. Supremacy. Okay? Either God is supreme or He's not. Okay? One or the other. Okay? I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and look at something else that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Concerning Jesus Christ, Paul says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. How many things hold together in Him? All things. Okay, you might want to underline that. Okay, it'll be on the test later. Okay, all right. In Him all things hold together. Look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, So that in, here's another word for you to underline, so that in what? All things or everything, he might have the supremacy. Now, how many things is he supposed to have the supremacy in? All things. In other words, we need to see our God in a way that says there is absolutely nothing that he does not have supremacy over. There is nothing in this universe that exists that God does not have supremacy over, and that includes whatever your struggle, your stronghold, your weakness, whatever your battle against Satan is, God has supremacy over. Thank you, brother. Are you hearing me? Are you listening? Because you see, Satan wants you to be convinced otherwise. Your struggle, your problem, your sin, your stronghold is just too difficult for you to overcome. That's what he wants you to believe. But you need to understand and believe with all your heart that your God is supreme over everything. Because what that says is, there is nothing that he can't overcome. So we need to understand, and that first important word is supremacy. Do you recognize God as being supreme over everything? The second word that you need to focus on, okay, is sufficiency. Sufficiency. Supremacy and sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul there is talking about the revelations that God had given to him to help him in his ministry, and he says to keep him from becoming conceited concerning these revelations, it was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he said, to torment him. And then he says he prayed three times for God to remove that thorn in the flesh, but God's answer was what? My grace, listen to it, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. Say it again. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you understand what that means? Whatever stronghold you're facing, if it's idolatry or something else, whatever it is, whatever struggle you have going on, whatever problem you may be having in a relationship, be it your marriage, a work relationship, a neighborhood relationship, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, because God is supreme over how much? Everything, okay? Whatever your struggles are, God says, I've got sufficient grace to take care of that. The problem is, we don't often believe that. Okay. But he says he's got sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect, or complete is what the word perfect there means, in weakness. See, it's only when we recognize and understand our weakness that we will allow God's power to work in our lives. Until we grasp the sufficiency of our God, we will never acknowledge His supremacy in our lives. Now think about that. Until we grasp the sufficiency of our God, we will never acknowledge His supremacy. We will continue to struggle against the strongholds, against the struggles, the problems that we face, against the spiritual warfare that Satan continues to wage against us. We'll continue to struggle with those things because we're going to try to defeat him on our own. But when we recognize that our God is not too small to handle anything, He is plenty sufficient to handle whatever we face. And He is supreme over everything. Then we'll be able to start knocking down those strongholds. Now, I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. In the text that Stuart read for us as we began this morning, we really, in order to recognize and understand this idea of the supremacy of God, that He is not too small, okay? His sufficiency is more than adequate to take care of whatever it is that we face in life. We need to go back and look at what is God saying about Himself here, and how important is that to us in being able to knock down our strongholds, and especially this stronghold of idolatry. You see? Because our God wants our total affections given to Him and to no one else. You see? Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 10, look at what he says here. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand." And I like this. Underline these next three words in your Bible. It says, "I am He." I like that. It's very simple, isn't it? It's very, very simple. God wants us to know and understand that He is He. When Moses asked God at the burning bush what His name was, what did He tell him? "I am. I am." That's all the explanation you need. Who is God? "I am." Say, "I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord. And apart from me," listen to what he's saying, you want to be saved from whatever your struggle is, whatever your stronghold is, "there is no other Savior," he says. There's no other way for you to defeat whatever it is you're struggling with except through God. Because there is no other Savior. There's no other person, there's no other thing, there's no other program, there's no other anything. Because he declares, "I am He." And there is no other Savior. "I have revealed and saved and proclaimed," he says, verse 12, "I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." Beth Moore, in her book on prayer, says the giant step in the walk of faith is the one we take when we decide God no longer, listen to this, is a part of our lives. He is our lives. Now think about what that's saying. I think for most of us, we are very comfortable when someone's talking about religion. We say, "Well, yes, God is a part of my life." Well, stop allowing Him to be part of it and let Him be it. You say? It's the same thing when people say, you know, you've seen the bumper stickers, "God is my co-pilot." Well, you got Him in the wrong seat, folks. Okay? If He's your co-pilot, He's in the wrong seat. You need to get out of the driver's seat and let Him drive and you be the co-pilot. You say? And having God to be a part of your life allows us to decide which parts we're going to let Him in and which parts we're not. Which parts we feel like we can handle and which parts we can't. As long as He is a part of our life, then we're going to continue to struggle against that stronghold. How much of it does God have supremacy over? All. He doesn't want just part. He wants all of it. The whole thing. Okay. The whole thing. Because He is God. And I'm convinced that we will really only break the stronghold of idolatry in our life, and any other stronghold for that matter, only when we acknowledge that God is our life. That's what's got to happen. Who is God to you? Okay? In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song titled Trust and Obey. How much do you trust Him and how much are you willing to obey Him? Okay? Do you really trust that He can overcome whatever it is you might be struggling with, whatever battles Satan has got you tangled up in, whatever strongholds you're facing in your life? Do you trust that He really is supreme and can handle whatever your problem is? Are you willing to obey Him and His Word in your life? We're here to lift people up before the Lord at this time. There's something that you're struggling with and you just can't seem to be getting anywhere, then maybe this, what we've been talking about, will help you to realize some things you need to get straightened out in terms of your thinking about God. If that's the case, that's what we want to do, lift you up before the Lord, to call upon His supremacy and His sufficiency to work in your life. Now, if you're not a Christian yet, you haven't given your life to Christ yet, and you're ready to do that, then you can do that right now this morning. You see? Call upon God as your Savior, Christ as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God so you can be in a right relationship with Him. You can have your sins washed away in baptism right now. So you can begin in a new life, living in relationship with God, who is He. If that's what you need to do, all you have to do is come up and let me know. Ted, you're going to be in the back. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to go back and talk to him privately, I'll have a prayer with him back there. If you'd like to come up to the front, I'll be up here to receive you. Whatever your need is, we want to try to help take care of it and lift you up before the Lord. So let's stand together and sing.